Autorizadores de símbolo vencido. So a few short things I'd like to share. The Lord is on it. So, I may get a telephone call in a minute, so I may have to leave, so I'm going to speak.
Hey.
Well, maybe that's what I should speak on. So I'm waiting for a telephone call, either tonight or tomorrow. I can go get an MRI, a CAT scan. You notice my foot, one foot is almost twice the size of the other. So, there's a reason for that. When we shed the spirit of master, as you've understood and heard many times, we're making commitment, we're making vows. And so the spiritual master is making a vow to the disciples. The disciple is making a vow to Guru. And so we had an interesting experience. I was noted, well, I'll come to that later. Let me talk about this first. So I apparently never had a day of serious sickness in my life until I started taking disciples. And it's been, you know, interesting experience. So many disciples do not follow strictly. We said sometimes that if you do not follow, then we're going to sever our relationship, formal relationship. Because as you do whatever you do, you offer to me, you offer to my spiritual master, you offer to his spiritual master, and all of this offering goes on until it ultimately goes to Krishna. So just as Srimati Radharani, she is the topmost devotee. She is also the topmost guard. And so she doesn't allow any nonsense to come to Krishna. At the same time, she is most exhilarated when there is quality devotion. This is from Lord Caitanya, in his last years in Jagannath Puri, Ramananda Roya would, and some intimate associates would be with him very intimately. And we see how Ramananda Roya was so expert in understanding the mind of Mahaprabhu. And his caretaking, and his reading, and his sharing, and what he allowed, and what he also did not allow. So a good disciple is supposed to be expert to be able to understand the mind of Guru and what to say of the commitments made to Guru. Srila Prabhupada had to dictate to us every single thing. Yes, in the very initial days, he had to show us even how to go to the bathroom, how to shower, how to cook, how even he even showed the women how to put on saris. Showed us how to put on tila. Showed us how to give class, how to do bhajan, how to play the drum, how to play the madanga, how to do the archery. But he did not expect that he was to show us each particular detail for the rest of humanity, the rest of our existence and our spiritual journey. Nor did he expect what happened in the earlier days where Prabhupada had to stand in line because we didn't understand what a guru was. Did he expect us to still act in the same way? The early days Prabhupada stood in line to go to the shower, and when all the devotees would come for hearing and taking prasad, they would leave, and Prabhupada would wash the plates, I mean clean up, and clean up the area. We did not understand what a guru was, and many devotees didn't so much care, because they just thought you come and you participate, you hear something, you have an interesting experience, and you go. Mahaprabhu Swami, one of the elder devotees who joined Prabhupada in those very, very initial days, once noticed that. He noticed how after everyone would leave the storefront, that the plates and the things would still be around. And he was later wondering what happens. And it dawned on him that he and all the others were doing the cleaning. They were leaving it all for Srila Prabhupada, you know, to do himself. Until later he participated in helping. So there's so many things that when we first come as babies in Krishna consciousness that is tolerated. Just as we have small children here, there's so many things that's natural based on their level of maturation. We don't expect them doing the same things they do at 1 year old. We don't expect that those same kind of activities when they're a teenager, or when they're 15, when they're 20, when they're 30. The same activity the child does at 1 year old, which is okay, at 20 years, it's a disturbance to society, it's a disturbance to their identity, and even to their family. People wonder, who are the parents of this insubordinate or mischievous or obnoxious teenager or young adult? So, as you go on, as we go on in our Krishna consciousness, a higher standard is not requested, it's demanded. And if we're not able to maintain and come up to a higher standard, then we're like that. We're like the child who somehow isn't growing up, is becoming a disturbance. So if you become a disturbance, you have made a contract with your spiritual masters. And so they have to pay for it. You pay for it, ultimately, but they have to pay because they made the contract on your behalf. With their rule of the Prabhupada. And so, one of the ways that Krishna allows the devotees to understand certain things about quality devotion, we see Tulsi plant is going nicely. We know that devotion is going nicely when there is less activities and then later less desire for sense gratification. Sometimes we may stop the sinful activity, but these sinful desires may last, but then the sinful desires also, they must go. If there's actual proper devotion, proper dedication. When there's a lack of proper devotion and proper dedication, then the sinful acts remain and sometimes increase. The sinful acts keep surfacing, and the sinful desires are consistent. We have to look in your lives and look close and see what is happening with these sinful activities. Where in your life there is sinful activities, and where there is such, that's where you are embarrassment, an assault, a disturbance to Srila Prabhupada and to his offerings to this world. We have sinful desires. You know, the immaterial world, it's surely not easy for the mind to be free of sinful desires. But as long as we don't act upon those sinful desires, our spiritual life progresses. But when we feel comfortable with the sinful desires, remain stagnant with the sinful activities and do not change those sinful activities, of course we suffer. Somebody got to pay some dues while you are being given more chance to move out of that space. And after a while, if you don't move out of that space, you lose your opportunity for this lifetime and going back to God. A little while ago, I took about 20 different medications just before eating. All due to sinful activities of disciples. We have to do this, make our spiritual commitments and maintain to them. We will become another group of people, another religion. People say so many things, but they just don't carry out what the theology is. There's too much of this that goes on the planet, and we see this has so much to do with how the world is in so much fear and so much fragmentation due to religious fanaticism, due to religious impotency, due to people who should be able to make a difference in a healthy way. But instead, they play into the sense gratification, and in some cases they even make a difference, amplifying what is already negative. So you have to make your decision, but you should be clear what the consequences are. If you want to go on being so selfish about chewing the chewed, you should understand that there's immediate consequences for the environment, for your guru, and there is lasting consequences for you in this lifetime. We could just do massive rejection of disciples all around the world. We may come to the point where we have to do that. We've already rejected certain disciples who just continuously deny what they have vowed to. Some of you are like right around the corner from that. Because it's unfair, like now, I have all these places I have to go and have to be present to be available to serve. It's unfair for some of you who are deviant to cause others who are trying to be serious and who are ready to receive help not to be able to be benefited from the help. It's unfair. So therefore, we have to look at the other way. We have to look at how we can even go beyond our comfort zone in our devotion so that we complement and add to the devotion experience, and that our own strength covers for others who are in a whole week. In Canada, very beautiful in Irvati Ashram and so many people. Interesting experience of the different generations. There were some devotees who, in an earlier phase of the devotion, were very strict and very dedicated. Some even the Prabhupada disciples. And to see some of them now, you just have to ask yourself, what happened? Someone's a leader, couple president, someone with great responsibilities, but didn't give up sinful activities. And you see them now, they look like almost like a homeless person. Obviously, mentally and physically struggling and just out of sync from life right now. You realize that you cannot cheat Krishna. Krishna gives you often time to change, and then if we don't, then that same time comes back to haunt us. Sometimes it's like in secular people still, they do different things. They think nobody knows about it. smuggle drugs and things. And then, at some point, they're caught. Often the FBI say also, sometimes they are fully aware of some organized crime, but they don't expose it immediately, because they want to watch it. They want to see who else is involved. They want to get more on those persons. So when they do come in, then they have so many things that definitely shows how this person is improper, and they have all the evidence to really to give that person some, you know, serious kind of situation that they're going to have to deal with. So sometimes the demigods assisting the Lord, they do like this. They let us think that we're going on and we're okay, are we all right? They're all, we're still such and such dasi and such and such dasi, and we're still chanting some rounds, some qualit, some kind, some time. We're still doing some temple programs. We're still reading. We're still doing this. But also, we're still doing that same nonsense. Some things even before we became devotees even to him. The Krishna has seen it all. He's not just seen when you are in the temple and you're reading or hearing the class. He's not just seen when you are okay because the guru is around. He's not just seen when you are in front of the deities. He's seeing you all the time because in your heart. The beauty is Krishna is always seen. The complexity is Krishna is always seen. And taking notice. So what we were also noticing is that here's such younger generations, there was, you know, so many guru coolies and so many devotees with children and grandchildren of all different ages and sizes. And then just in the last couple of weeks, some of the devotees have died of cancer. Rather famous devotees. Many devotees are with hepatitis, the most serious kind. Whether someone is being born or someone is leaving, they're coming in with a history and they're leaving a particular history that is going to have a big effect on what they experience while they're here, what they experience when they leave. So it's more complex now. You know, there were times that we had 100, 200, 500, you know, disciples. Now we're going over 1,000 plus. So it means more disciples. It means also people have been around longer in some cases, where they're supposed to be carrying more responsibility, more devotion, more weight. Not that they are 20 years in devotion, 10 years in devotion, and acting like someone who's just, you know, 1 or 2 years. Some things are tolerated at 2 years old. It's just natural. It makes it good. But not to be tolerated at 20 years. Now some of this is inevitable. But still has consequences. Bhaktisiddhanta left the planet early. Samanjari left the planet early. Even though he had so many Naisakhi Brahmacharis, even though he had so many sannyasis who were born in the Vedic culture, he left early because there was so much dissonance amongst the devotees. So much lack of cooperation and so much deviation individually. Prabhupada was ill when he was seeing his godbrothers some days before he left the planet. He says, I am like this because of the sins of my disciples. Because I've accepted too many unqualified disciples. Now we say, why should these pure devotees say like that? We can understand us who are in the process of unfolding, having these kind of issues. But why should these pure devotees, nitya siddhas, why should they say like that? Is that they're just saying it as a way to be like a coach, to try to put people in a sense of fear and grief so that they will change? No. any more than we see in other traditions. The leading saints of that tradition take on so much burden and usually not understood, usually not accepted and appreciated by the people who they reach out most to help. People were seeing this movie, what's it called, The Passion of Jesus or something, Passion of Christ. And they are being quite overwhelmed when we hear about how Jesus is tortured and he suffers so much. What there's reference in the Bible is that it's hard to find 1 or 2 inches of space on his body, you know, that was not bruised. And so, yes, that kind of torture would be impossible for an ordinary entity to still maintain consciousness. But it is an archetype of that, the Lord's mercy, how it's given, also how it's misunderstood and so abused. Now, Jesus took a lot of karma for a lot of people. But a lot of people suffer. One might even go as far as to say that some of the suffering in the Jewish race has to do with generations and generations of karma that they had to encounter due to so much of the lack of understanding of who Jesus was. Every experience is connected with some kind of karma. And sometimes we can be very blessed by doing something to saintly personalities. That we get blessed, our family and generations and our whole villages, generation after generation, will get blessed. And sometimes offenses are so intense that we suffer. And sometimes it happens for generations and generations. And so we see often how this interesting planetary karma, ethnic karma, all of these things is also connected with individual and collective activities that then produce certain things. We want to always think about the beauty that when some people excel in their devotion and how they carry others with that devotion rather than those who like bring a curse on their families, on their villages, on their countries. Some countries are undergoing like curse. It doesn't have to do with just what has happened only in this particular century or decade. But it's caught up with Parabdha Ankama, not Parabdha, that which is already manifest, that which is in the states of manifestation. So we have taken birth, whatever country, world, part of the world, whatever ethnic groups we're in, we have taken birth to be devotees in this lifetime. And none of us will be sufficiently happy until our devotion becomes of high quality. Otherwise, we will feel that whatever we do, there will be such loneliness and emptiness because the root of the tree is not being watered. Krishna is not being given the proper attention. Our relationship with Guru is so full of incoherence. There's no accident that somehow you've met me, accident that I've met you, no accident you've met your guru. It is not an accident. Whatever and how that relationship unfolds, there is something distinctly there that Krishna is going to judge you on. So is he going to judge me? And how we remind you, how we guide you, and what kind of example that we set for you. So, people are leaving the planet. And they're leaving all kinds of reasons. Everybody comes with a history and leaves with a history. And each of us individually are being graded, or each person is being evaluated. So I know I want to joyfully be able to meet Prabhupada again and say, Srila Prabhupada, I maintain my vows for you. I maintain my intensity in service. I maintain my intensity in traveling and preaching. I maintain my intensity in mourning. Those who are directly with me, and those in general, who I come in contact with. So that whatever the consequences are of you individually, that you won't be able to say that you were not given the chance, the clarity, the understanding, and the facilitation. The other day, an Ayurvedic doctor touched up Ramana Maharaj's hand and says, how are you living? You're living only on spiritual energy. Because when you try to help so many people, their consciousness and their issues plug into you. So you can make that so much easier, at least for the person's physical body, and subtle. Or you can make it very complex. So many times, disciples are making it very complex. And then they say, oh, look at these ISKCON gurus. Oh, they're falling here, falling there. Yes. And that is unfortunate. Because if somebody falls, that is due to their own weakness, their weak immune system, along with whatever they're carrying, but it's due primarily to their own system. But it is connected. Just as when you are physically ill, you find that it affects your enthusiasm in devotional service. When you're physically ill, it affects the quality sometimes of your chanting, the quality of your reading. You're not the body, but it affects. We all are to transcend it, transform it, but it's not necessarily avoided. Prabhupada didn't avoid the sickness that he encountered because of all of our the neophyte things that we bombarded him with. Krishna's not, I've had 3 or 4 doctors who just finally told me, because I knew it myself. Homeopathic doctor told me, your problem is that as you counsel people and as you accept disciples, their energy enters into your body and the toxins penetrate throughout the system, and sometimes there's trouble going on. Homeopathic Chinese doctor, Ayurveda just explained, your foot are natural. If you look at my foot, you would be shocked. It's like it doesn't even belong to this body. Because it's energy from outside of this body. And because the toxins settle in the serious number of the saints. Now I'm happier than I've ever been in my Krishna consciousness. I am more excited than I've ever been in my Krishna consciousness. And what I do for Prabhupada, what he's allowing me to do, and what I see available in the future. But it's a lot of wasted time of Prabhupada and having to put so much energy into trying to keep this machine together because of those who are supposedly working with me and assisting being more sometimes of a problem than an asset. Because that time, I came there earlier this afternoon, and I just before some of you came in at 6:37, I just come here, and I spent about 5-6 hours at the doctor's. Came right from the airport, and I went to the doctor's office. All that wasted time, That was Prabhupada's time. It should be your time. Tomorrow I believe at 8 o'clock, go to a doctor. 10:15, you go to another doctor. This is crazy. But this is what some of you have allowed to take place or assisted with. Yes, I have my own unformed karma, my own spiritual, psychological immune system. That's there. But if one is a genuine guru, the guru is working on behalf of the mission. Actually, raise your hand. How many of you in the last year have not engaged in some sinful activity? It would be embarrassing. I'm sure you would not be the majority. Majority of you may engage in sinful activity in the last 6 months. You gotta stop playing games with Krishna. Yes, you're here in the West. In the West, you're in the Western bodies this lifetime, and you're in the Western country. All of you, whether you're Western bodies or not, and you're exposed to a very sensual and Chala Dharma, Upadharma, Adharma culture. It goes against them. But that's full of activities. The Krishna is evaluating you on in this lifetime. I leave here and I go to Cleveland, then I'll go to United for 1 or 2 days, then I'll go to Ireland and to England and to Ukraine and to Croatia and to Serbia and to Russia. There's so many places. It's like not even time probably to think in most places. You rush off the air, rush into the airport, you do 4 or 5 programs a day, sometimes you don't eat until late at night, you go on and on and on. And that's beautiful. We can do this. And should evolve our service. And we have all these thousands, tens of thousands, and hundreds of thousands of books all around the world. Millions of, multi-millions of books of Prabhupada is true. And our Prabhupada is lying so much to write some small books, and our books are going all around the world. Every few days, every 3 to 4 days, practically twice a week, I get a letter from somebody around the world asking, can I be your disciple? It's our duty as a sannyasi to make ourselves available. But it is dangerous taking so many people. And so it's your duty to at least do your part. And if you can't, you realize that there is consequences. Some of the things that not happen in your life the way you would like them to happen has to do with someone else, and sometimes some of the consequences that you already experienced. We just have to read Prabhupada's books closer and understand more how and why he's given us what he has given us. And then we will be able to be so much more excited. But now sometimes devotees work overtime and noticing the faults of others, overtime and criticizing others, overtime trying to show how they're better than someone else rather than helping that person. Overtime just thinking only about themselves. When you take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's mission, you're actually saying that now you are a soldier. And you're ready to be called for spiritual warfare. You have to have the kind of life mindset of an ordinary materialist. Ordinary materialist is just living, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and they're happy as long as they can cover themselves in that particular area. Muzusuke is not here today because he was up all night worrying about me last night. I slept 35 minutes.
Hey.
He was next door. He was so much disturbed of knowing that I wasn't sleeping because I was in pain with my leg. So he had to drive for 4 hours. So part of the reason why he didn't come because he hadn't slept probably more than maybe two hours himself. So spiritually, I'm fully present here. You wouldn't know I haven't slept like that. But physically, the body is the material body. And this is what the soul is being carried in. So if you're riding in a car and you're trying to go somewhere, that car has to be taken care of, or it interferes with your ability to go and to do certain things. You're still there. But that's what carries you. Anyway, I'm just trying to make some things clear. I'm also trying to use this to encourage you to become more serious. I'm also trying to remind you why we're doing this process. I'm also trying to remind you that everyone is to be more accountable. It was very sad. A beautiful experience the last 2 days in Canada. But it was very sad seeing some of those devotees who tried to cheat Prabhupada and cheat Krishna, and how they got cheated themselves. Krishna was not unfair. And so the very difficult situations they found themselves in is not due to Krishna neglecting them. It's due to them neglecting the process. This Krishna consciousness will sometimes cause you tremendous incoherence when you don't follow it genuinely. You feel like a misfit in both worlds. There's too many devotees, thousands of devotees, who came to Krishna consciousness, and now, you know, they're not sadhakas. They're like misfits. They know too much to be fully happy and satisfied in mature energy. And at the same time, their attachments not allowing them to go deeper in devotion. So don't allow yourself to get so close and then miss wonderful chances to grow. Because the next coming years in Krishna consciousness is not going to get easier. Any more than just living and surviving an ordinary life is going to get easier. For very, very few people. For the average citizen in America, the average citizen in the world, that life is going to become more complex in the coming years. Already you see right in front of you the whole world changing. More and more fear everywhere. Less and less feeling of security everywhere. More quick, fast economic shifts everywhere. More situations where people felt they were secure, felt they were doing good, quite established, and transition time. So fast. The planet itself is so wounded. The planetary karma is so negative right now. So that in itself is causing more mental and physical diseases. People in general are having to be more, let's say, survivalist. And survivalist mentality creates animalistic propensities coming forth. Governments, as well as our government here, is caring less and less about pretending to care for the real interests of the people. Governments are less and less disturbed with just trying to look good. They're more concerned with certain targets. They want to move on and move forward. And so it's very important that these days people to have genuine sense of spiritual shelter. So if you're not getting stronger now, it's going to be harder for you 4 and 5 years from now. The institution is going through so many legal complexities. There's going to be a lot of abruptness in wounds from the legal fallout. It's becoming harder and harder for somebody to want to come up and become a president of many of the ISKCON temples because of the complexities. The institutions are not as financially secure in most parts of the world to be able to care for its people. There's more and more different shades of Vaishnavism people have to contend with. People are also just getting older in some cases. Whether it's teenagers getting older, having more trouble trying to control their senses, or whether it's older people going to midlife crisis, or whether it's older devotees going to a period where they just look and wonder, what have they done with their life? And in some cases, older people trying to revisit some of their earlier sense gratification. Like you see so common, men 50, 55 years old looking for young girls 25 years old. See people getting old when they're going to menopause. And they're going through all the physical, psychological, biological, and psychological complexities, but also they're going through the anxieties of accepting the fact that their body is shutting down on them. You know, they're making statistics something like about almost 1/4 of people in America the next 10 years or so will gradually have Alzheimer's disease. I mean, all kinds of unusual diseases that just destabilize people. Something's going on here. And so many of the people who have, attention deficit disorder, some of the children. Something's going on here. So much more of this dyslexia. I mean, all of these things, where all this is coming from? Something's happening in the environment that people are being affected by. We all know somebody who has cancer. Anyway, the issue is that we do have to get our life in order. And we shouldn't wait for somebody else to make it happen in our life. We should do things that at least we can leave this body when we do have to leave and know that we have passed our test. So I see if you have questions. I'm waiting. I'm on standby for this thing so that they can call me anytime between now and 11 o'clock tonight. At 11 o'clock I have to go see another doctor, maybe 10:15 or so. But that's all the external, what we should understand. That our identity is that we're not to be ordinary people just doing ordinary things and giving in to ordinary passions. We didn't say yes to Krishna based on that. And Krishna is there in the heart watching us all. And Prabhupada is there just cheering us on. So when the body sits down to as a failure and he decided, well, let me get out of here. Because thought at some point, I've given what I've given, I've accepted what they're going to accept, and now we didn't stay around. Krishna took Prabhupada back. He made it clear to us that what was needed to be given was given. And now we either got it or we didn't. And so then we were forced to have to live more with his words, with his vani, rather than his vapu. So when you have, we have these big festivals, Lava kind of presents like what is going on in Krishna consciousness. You see the newness, new people coming. You see the steadiness in some of the devotees. And you look and you just realize how many people who used to be here were not here anymore. And what happened to some of those devotees? You see devotees with different levels of deviations and different ways of rationalizing, you know, their sense gratification. That is devotional service. That is the part of the practice of devotion. Devotional service is actually pure. But it's just how hellish the mature world is. That the majority of people in the mature world, other than in Sattva Yuga, more prone for deviation. If you have any questions or comments, because it's Kali Yuga, because it's prone for deviation, we shouldn't be comfortable with the deviation. If we're comfortable with the deviation, it means come back. And you know, we come back to experience more Kali Yuga. Any questions or comments? If I do it the other way, if I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you have not engaged in sinful activities in the last 6 months? I'm not going to ask you that to do it in the public because it would just be so embarrassing. That's how selfish that we are. But we expect much, or we often give, you know, very little. That's a cheating mentality. Then those who expect and demand the most are really ready to give the less. You have any questions, any comments?
On Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, you know, makes reference that if someone doesn't complete their Krishna consciousness in this one lifetime, that the next life they may either receive the Brahmin family or that of maybe a wealthy. How is that? We can understand that, you know, by taking birth of a Brahmin, that it could be beneficial to some spiritual. But how is that so beneficial to take the birth of one in some of the situations?
Wealthy
that could be a distraction.
Yeah, and that's the danger. Is that many people who engaged in punya and pious activities, some cases, reached devotion from previous life. This lifetime, they've been born with wealth. Now that wealth can be auspicious, that they can use what they have, where they're not having to struggle as much, you know, for survival issues. Spend more energy, more time, into spiritual investments, and spiritual life. Just think how many people who would like to be more spiritual and perhaps could be more spiritual, but they're struggling so much with economics that they deny some of their higher principles and higher understandings because, you know, of the financial, you know, complexities in their life. But now, what you also see is that majority of people who endowed with wealth have an artificial insecurity. Often are less likely to have the destitution, desperation, and the frustration that can often be good as a catalyst in helping the person to take the situation. So many times as you have more wealth, then there's more tendency to think oneself as a proprietor. We think ourselves as a proprietor, then it puts Krishna out of the center. So it means even though one is in a bone, can come back in a wealthy family and have more facility for becoming spiritual, that same bone may be the cause of, you know, their stagnation. Chakrabarti explains this in the Mahārāya Khandabīna. It explains how there are some pleasures, or there are some sins that are connected with pious activities. So some things that are due to pious credits that now lends themselves, you know, to some types of deviations. And that's why if we don't get it right in a particular lifetime, we may come in a wealthier family, a wealthy family, and get intoxicated by that. We may come in a medical family and get intoxicated by that by thinking, I know these things. We see that some people taking birth in medical families, and that's been like a curse for them, even though it's a boon. Because of that, they feel comfortable in what they have heard or experienced, even though they are not taking it very profoundly because they've had certain connections, then they get stuck, you know, at a certain moment. Or you have the case of someone coming in the medical family, having kind of a, you know, a smart Brahman. So it becomes a boon, it becomes a curse if it's not used in the proper way. So it's not that those situations will automatically guarantee now in this time, this lifetime, this person is going, you know, is going to advance. Any more than the children born in our movement. You know, it's like our Guru Kula children. So probably across the board, they have been involved in devotional service in the past. So now they have more exposure in this lifetime from day one, even before they take birth, while in the womb. But now some of those kids who have come with those credits have become bigger blasphemers than just the ordinary karma. Just like, say, someone, for instance, one of the topmost evangelists in the world is an Indian Christian. He's not known much in America, but all over the world. One of the biggest. So because he is born in the Vedic connection, has rejected it, now he becomes like, almost like demonically empowered to attack something higher. So it can go both ways. Or you take the case of the Brahma Rakshasas. And these are like disembodied Brahmanas, who in previous lifetimes were engaged in study and yajnas and all kinds of intensity, but were offenders. But then they come back as ghosts, and they do all kind of deviation. So there's something that was a benefit that was used improperly. Now it becomes a problem. In India, South Africa, place like that, they are very powerful Brahma Rakshasas. They are fallen Brahmanas, deviant Brahmanas, who had developed a certain amount of Shakti, but were deviant, cursing and counter-cursing, offending, you know, pure souls. And then sometimes they come back, but they come back without physical bodies, disembodied bodies for a while. And they're much more powerful than ordinary ghosts. So, if a bone can unfold and be consistent in one going forth, or one can become intoxicated. Another example, you know, is Lord Brahma. The entities, when they usually fall, they don't fall so low. They fall up and become, you know, a Lord Brahma. Some souls go back after death. But many souls, after getting intoxicated with three most mature energy, becoming bombarded by it, they get a taste for it, they start going down. Even now, there's a problem on this planet now of empowered beings, different spirituals, different traditions, who came to this world to make a very positive difference. Many have gotten distracted. And even though having a certain kind of very powerful karma, they're not acting on fully what they came in, you know, in this world for. And then some, in order to cover it up and to justify it, they become big demons. Any other question? So it's not like this automatic thing that you don't go back in this lifetime, you come back and you're going to come with so much, you know, leverage, that you definitely will go back in the next lifetime. Vaisiddhanta explains that for most people in Kali Yuga, rebirth, because of the influence of the most mature nature. It doesn't have to be. For many, it could be more. Or I have to take 3, 6, 10, whatever, more births, you know, in these hellish bodies. But for most souls, an average, he says. About 3 births. The other question?
You were talking about accountability for what we have received from our spiritual master. How to realize that accountability in our sadhana, our day-to-day sadhana, overcome the lethargy, be enthusiastic about our daily practices.
We just have to put ourselves a little out of the center, put Krishna more in the center. That means we still do so many things as necessary for maintaining body and soul together. But we're doing it with a real conscious awareness that, you know, this is for Guru and for Krishna. The Lord in our heart will give us, you know, so much understanding, strength, and protection. See, really, the falling down, it doesn't matter whether it's high positions or low positions, falling down has primarily to do with putting Krishna out of the center. If you put Krishna out of the center, then we can do a lot of things and kind of, you know, pretend or just ignore what is right and go on. But it has to do with putting Krishna out of the center. It's just too dangerous to put Krishna out of the center. And then when we have come to devotional service, and now we declare war against Maya. Maya continually battles us, attacks us, put Krishna out of the center. And it's that example we gave you, it's like going to war, you know, without your weapons. Still going to war, but you're going without your weapons. We're still chanting, we still consider ourselves to be Vaishnavas. So we're going to war. And we'll put our weapons. What is it? And we do that, then we cheat ourselves. Then we ask you to raise your hand, those who have deviated. And it'll be more than half of you. The problem, if you're honest, and the concern would be, why do you keep cheating yourself? Other questions?
Maharaj, when you said about the three births in general, does that apply to people who have heard the truth?
Yeah. Yeah, it applies to the kind of average devotee.
A lot of times in a community that isn't steadily growing, a lot of the devotees continue doing the same service year after year. I was wondering how we can keep our enthusiasm in our service and for practicing Krishna consciousness in general, especially if you feel like you're kind of in a rut.
First, we should understand that there are up and down periods, you know, that everyone has. We shouldn't get overly, you know, bewildered by that. We're going to have those things because mature world is an environment of duality. And our bodies and our minds are so captured by the duality. But the problem is when we get into these ruts and then we just hang in and identify with it and start acting according to what that rut really is about. So we begin to, instead of seeing that we're having this experience, we become that. Start being comfortable with and with the deviation. Doing the same things is a part of the Krishna God's experience. I mean, we, you know, we're chanting every day, we're doing deity service and deity service every day, meeting every day. But we have to keep trying to go deeper with that, so that even though it's the same thing, there's a deeper experience. It can't become overwhelming. Oh, another tossing bhuja, another RT, another dressing the deity, another Sunday feast. I know exactly, probably 99% of people who are going to be there. No. Another Sundar RT. Well, a couple more weeks, another Janmashtami. Here they go again, they got to put together for, you know, for Rati Yatra. Another Rati Yatra will be over in some short time, so let's celebrate. No, we have to realize, yes, some of these same things are going on. We want a deeper experience. This is the mood of Bhakti Vinod, engaged in bhajan in his house, and his house turns into the spiritual world. To the same place, just going deeper and deeper, and with that experience. Because it is quite common for one to begin to feel dry. Maya tries to entice us this way. You see, everything's about ruchi, about taste. So where's your big taste in Krishna consciousness? I have something to offer you. You can show you some taste from this. And this is why studying is important, because if we don't study sufficiently, then we forget why we're undergoing this austerity. When I study probably in hearing, we kind of forget. Why am I doing this? Then we start thinking, I should be doing this and that. We really think my uncle, my brother, I mean, look at what they're doing. I wasn't chanting Hare Krishna, going to the temple and doing all these things. I could be using that time for doing this, doing that. We forget, yeah, you could be, if you want to be an ordinary karma. You want to be a devotee, then you have to look at, okay, what do I do? What is going to enhance my devotional life? Any other last question?
I started working at the bed place.
At a hospice?
We see 283 people a day. I think for me, it's kind of showing me not only what happened to your body when you don't take care of it, but then also, appreciate the association.
I counsel a lot of people, a lot of devotees who are suicidal. So just last week I was counseling one devotee who was suicidal. He had come from another place to visit with me. And I was explaining to this devotee, maybe you should just go to a hospital, walk around, go to a mental institution, go to a prison. We just go to some of these places and see people who are like really suffering. This person was youthful, was an attractive young gentleman, had a whole life ahead of him, no sickness, no this, no that. And I was thinking, and you're so much down and depressed, And there are many people who just love to have the things that you have. There's so many things that work in your life. You're just so disturbed by the few things that's not working. You should study some people, you observe some people who really have real issues, you know, to be disturbed about life, you know. People who can't see, you know, people who are born blind, never been able to see. People who have lost, you know, all their family members. People who are confined, you know, the wheelchairs. People who are locked in prison, you know, for the rest of their life, for several years. I mean, it's just, you know, people have to get total, you know, mental break. I mean, there's so many, we're talking about millions and tens of millions of people who have, like, serious reason, at least physically, to be disturbed. And we can see how so many of these people have problems many, many times more than whatever we may experience. We have to be grateful like that, you know. Otherwise, we won't be able to see growth sufficiently. You remember when Prabhupada was leaving his body, and Brahmananda was like very, very sad that Prabhupada was undergoing this pain, this sickness and whatnot. Prabhupada at one point told him that, don't think this won't happen to you. And let him realize that, hey, having with your body means it's going to fall apart on you one day. And it's going to give you a certain kind of distress. You have to kind of get ready for that. That this is what it means, having with your body. So there are times when we get overwhelmed by whatever isn't working in our own life. We kind of forget about the things that we can do. Or we miss a chance for some quality life because we don't look at those things that we can do sufficiently.
I got a question that I've been dealing with for a lot of years now. I was born and raised in the movement. I grew up in West Virginia. No,
maybe they can hear you in the back, maybe. Mm-hmm.
I was just saying I was born and raised in the movement, and I grew up in West Virginia around the time all of the incident that took place, and I wrote a book about it, and I went back for the first time in like 10 years when we had the last Govardhan Pooja. Mm-hmm. And I say what you were talking about, how many, so many devotees that were brought to me or that were in the movement, and how they are now like some of the hardest criticism of the movement, and it's like, I was wondering when I looked back, and I was like, man, you know, I lived with these devotees, you know, we were all together, we were raised, taught the same, and it was like, you see so much hatred amongst the same people that you grew up with, you're like, and actually, the mind answer, like, well, you come to a spot where you're like, okay, is there something wrong here, or is this, but then, I mean, have my own personal experiences with life and dealing with things. Krishna also allows me to see that even the things that they've been through or what they have experienced and the way they feel, it's not, you know, that doesn't mean you have to feel that way, because he's shown me different, you know, ways that he's been there for me. So I was able to get over that hump, but then you still get to the point of, like, when you say, well, you need to step it up. So my thing is that fear of, like, if you take on that vow to step up, and then if you don't, it's like you always have that fear of knowing, hey, I failed you, Krishna. I don't want, because I've been punished before. I tried, you know, I was born and raised in the devotee life. I tried to go out here in the material world, and I learned the hard way, that that's not where it's at. So it's like, hey, I'm going back. But he let me come back, though, you know, and I'm very grateful for that. But it's just that fear of not succeeding or letting him down that gets you sometimes. And you wonder, like, man, it's like I said, especially, you know, it's not a game. So what I'm asking is, what are some things that you can challenge the mind and help the mind to stay focused and not worry about that fear where you don't want to? I know I don't want to go back that way.
Put the light on. In the back. In darkness back in. So, if we don't try succeed, then, you know, we just accept failure. It's like someone saying, well, you know, if I learn how to drive a car, then, you know, I may have an accident. So, I don't think I should learn how to drive. If I take this job, maybe at some point I may get sick or I may get laid off. So, you know, therefore I shouldn't take the job. That might happen. Still one can bounce back. But if one doesn't endeavor, then that definitely is failure. When you look at some of your, you know, associates that you're associated with, you know, in the devotee community, you also have to look at some of the people that you're associated with, you know, as karmis. And you see, you know, what maybe those people are. Like those who weren't born in the movement, they can look even more so at relatives, at school friends, at work, you know, colleagues. And they can look, you know, 15, 20, 30 years ago, what those people were doing, and then what they're doing now. And if you're scrutinizing, you realize that you really don't want to be like such people. And you see how some people who were considered, somebody who's considered most likely to succeed in your graduation class, now that person, no, is an alcoholic, you know? And you realize how time changes things like in Nathan. It's somebody who was, you know, kind of a goof-off. Another person, responsible parent, and responsible businessman, and, you know, got a life of integrity. So time has, you know, amazing impacts and influences the way things, you know, can unfold. So that is just a part of, again, of being in the world of duality and the true world. So where some devotees who you thought maybe were not so serious and they've been very steady and it's in spite of whatever, some who were at some point very dedicated and now they are not only not dedicated, they become enemies, so to speak, you know, to, you know, the movement, the Museum of Mahaprabhu. Kala, the time factor, brings about amazing changes. That's what we should ask ourselves. Like, what do we want to see and experience in our own lives 10 years from now? What do we need to put in place? What would we like to experience, you know, to be a reality? Do we want 10 years from now to still be so fixed in some negative things? Do we want 10 years from now to have the same level of realization that we have now? Do we want 10 years from now to have some of the same fears and phobias and attachments? Or do we want 10 years from now to be so different from what we're experiencing at this point? We want 10 years from now to be so much more Krishna conscious. Whatever may be happening around is happening, but we're so Krishna conscious. Each person has to make their own decision. We have to think, now what do I do for that reality to manifest, what I would like to be and happen 10 years from now? 10 years from now, what do you feel you need to have in place for your children? What do you feel you need to do with and for your wife or husband? What do you feel you should be about in the service of your spiritual master? 10 years from now, what do you feel will be your mental, physical situation at that time? And how will you best use that in Krishna's service? 10 years from now, some who are sickly will be healthier, some who are healthier will be sickly. Hopefully some who are not quite as strong now will be much more strong in spiritual life. And some people 10 years from now will be trying to forget Krishna. Almost cursing the day, you know, that they heard about Krishna consciousness. Because now when they get engaged in sin, they have too much guilt. Before you came to Krishna consciousness, you engaged in sin, and you never came to guilt. Things change. Think about who was in the community here you know, 10 years ago. Think about, you know, some of the changes some of the authorities have come to. Think about what you were doing 10 years ago, what you're doing now, and how fast that went. So your next 10 years, it can go quite fast also in different ways. You'll be looking back thinking, what you, how hopefully being happy about what you did and achieved, how Krishna arranged it. Feeling a little bit of solace that you, you know, you use your time wisely.
Yes, I when I was reading the first book on sacred teachings, the Shikshastika, you really go very deeply into, you know, understanding what that mood is and talking about different aspects of humility. And one of the things you discuss is like people that you have offended, devotees that you have offended in the past. And, you know, you say that you should actually, you know, actually physically or what, in some way, apologize to that devotee. So, my question is, what if somebody that you offended is not, they're not even a devotee anymore?
It's still important for you to kind of clear your negative patterns, you know, with that person.
Like, say for instance...
You mean if you approach them, they wouldn't even accept it because, you know, they're not even a devotee, not even thinking like that anymore.
Yeah, what I was trying to say is, like, do you actually do it on the physical plane, or is it something that you do, you know, mentally with yourself? Like, in a case where I offended somebody, and I actually thought that I wasn't offended, I actually thought that I was actually told that, no, this is okay. And now I realize, no, that wasn't okay, and that person's no longer a devotee.
Even more so, it's good to, if possible, to send them a message of kindness and also ask for forgiveness. Because maybe that person isn't a devotee, because a number of people offended them in a way that caused them to lose faith in the persons. Or maybe that person who was lost some faith and began to rationalize sense gratification, that by your act of kindness and by your act of humility, it may spark the devotee's Krishna consciousness once again.
So it's like, you know, you could actually like think back to your, like when you became a devotee and think of the devotees that, like in this case, it was somebody that I think was hurt a lot. You know, at that time I was rationalizing whatever. It was a long time ago.
Right.
And then, you know, other devotees that I've like offended, and then I wrote a list, and then I was thinking, well, if I write this devotee a letter, they're just going to be angry with me. Yeah, because they don't want it.
Well, even, you know, when you ask forgiveness to someone, of who someone, there's some people who just don't accept it. But still see this planet. And you're doing it, you know, for you and for that person's well-being. Even their mind, you know, shut down, still pretty much off.
Yeah, if they can...
I mean, I just gave it just a couple, just yesterday, you know, to share with you. I have one devotee who I think is really seriously, you know, making an offense to me. He's in an interesting position. I sent him, when I see him, I'm going to apologize to him as a way to, one, to help him to realize that you were trying to serve Prabhupada, I'm trying to serve Prabhupada. Somehow my existence has caused you some anxiety. But I'm mainly going to do it to try to get him to maybe make a shift in his consciousness. Because I'm concerned about the offense, you know, the offense that he's making. But I see a kind of offense he made toward me, offense he's making toward some other people. So I'm just going to use that as a way to try to serve him. So I can think, well, maybe he won't accept it, or why should I make some apology to him when he's the one who's, you know, who's perhaps in fault? No, we have to think a bit more than what we are doing for ourselves, because one, We're trying to have more devotion in the environment. Two, our own identity is caught up in how we serve others. So your identity, your being a better devotee, is so caught up in how you avoid offenses and how you help someone else. Or how when you make an offense, how you try to rectify. First it may accept it or may not. That's, you know, that's their truth. But for you, it's your duty to try to do what will bring about the most Christian conscious effect. Any other questions? It's easy to say, well, yeah, it's not my fault, it's that person's stuff. Why don't you get everything together? Why don't you get this thing together? The Krishna brought that person into your life. And therefore, there was something that you were supposed to give and learn, something you were supposed to share, something you were supposed, somewhere you were supposed to grow, you know, from that actual experience. It's easy just to say, oh, this person is wrong. Or it's easy to say, okay, I was wrong, but that was, you know, last year, so let's forget about that. No. Some karma is still out there. You know, it needs to be adjusted. So. Can I take one last question? Yeah, this, I mean, karma is so unusual how it comes back in so many unusual ways. So many wonderful things that can happen to us. There's some things that we've done even unconsciously. And they were good things. And they bring some wonderful results. And so many areas of stagnation in our life has to do with some negative stuff that, you know, we kind of thought it wasn't such a big thing. But it's, you know, it's come back. All of our experiences we're having now are connected with some things that we said and did in the past. So, I mean, just think about that question I asked. You carry it home with you. We'll be together for some days, maybe even a little longer, because I may have to follow through on some more tests while I'm here, so there's a chance that I might have to extend my visit.
Bugle!
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm extending my visit because of sickness and because of deviation. We should be happy that I can be available here and there and there. So, I understand. But I just can't see you doing international travel that we're doing right now. It would be good. Some of these third world countries you go for medical care, it can be dangerous. Some parts of the world can be a little dangerous. You walk out in worse shape than you were when you walked in. Anyway, I'm excited because I'm just happy that I'm almost 55 years old and I've spent years and years and days and hours in Prabhupada service. Every day I'm aware of what I'm going to do every hour. Because I'm thinking, okay, this is to see some way how to serve, not for the problem. It's hard for me to, like, even let 4 or 5 hours go for the sake of a day without just systematically thinking about what I should be doing, can't be doing. Because I want to live each moment as a way that I can put that at the lotus feet of Guru. Because the moments go by in 2 years before you know it. So, the more we're mindful, then the less Maya has a way, you know, to grab us. When Maya does grab us, the mind gets bewildered about something. We just snatch it. Because it's anchored. When it's not sufficiently anchored, we get just pulled away. Start doubting the philosophy and start getting angry at other devotees and start feeling disempowered. We feel abused, we feel not understood, we feel not appreciated. And they feel all that, and we should realize, okay, we shouldn't allow this experience to be part of our life. that, and we have thought about that. We have to bring out mind back to Krishna. And this is preparation for time of death. And everything shuts down. You still bring the consciousness to Krishna. So, it was time. This God found the God in His divine grace. Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Tibuvaji. Esi Varha Kunja Bihari. Sarvapade Esi Bhaktivoni Jai. Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai.